It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Our super producer and host, Ryan Hickey, is holding it down for us in New York City. And I'm glad that you're here. All my people on the highways, the byways, my people delivering, my people, I don't know, maybe you threw a burger on the grill. I don't know what you're doing. You're ahead of the rest of us. Thank you for tuning in. I'll be hanging out with you for two more hours. We've had a busy show so far. We've had a busy day, a busy afternoon, a busy evening. Brandon Ayuk gets his contract. Finally. Took long enough, right? All that whining and complaining. He finally got his deal. Brandon Ayuk going to be sticking around with the San Francisco 49ers. Four-year deal, $120 million per. Jacoby Brissett, officially named the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots. Drake May has to take a back seat for a little while. Hassan Reddick still not at work. Brandon Ayuk got a deal, but another wide receiver, Jamar Chase, he's at work, but he ain't practicing. We don't know if he'll play. They take on the Patriots, don't play. Save yourself. Hassan Reddick is not at work. Trent Williams isn't at work. We just have to see how things develop. And then we've had some amazing guests who've joined us. Thank you so much to Armin Katayan, 11-time Emmy Award winner, 6-time New York Times best-selling author. He's also the co-author of the new book, The Price, that evaluates the chaos that is currently taking place in college football. So thank you, Armin, for coming through to chat with us. And thank you to NBA legend, sharpshooter, former all-star with the Seattle Supersonics. Thank you to Dale Ellis for joining us last hour as well. If you've missed a minute or a second of the show, you can go ahead and hit rewind on the free Audacy app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. You can hit rewind. You can hit pause. You can do whatever the hell you want. Thank you to people listening live on their local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, wherever you might live. SiriusXM channel 158, and a smart speaker if you have one. You can always ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. We talked about Jalen Hurts, too. Jalen Hurts is like, oh, yeah, Kelsey is gone. It halted my development. Halted? Slowed down? Responsibilities different? Words matter. Oh, yeah, by the way, we also talked about Steph Curry in his new contract extension. He already had 2 years left on his deal. Well, now he will have 3 years left with the Golden State Warriors. He signed a one-year, $62 million contract extension. Steph Curry is 36 years old. In that final year of his deal, in 2027, that is 3 years from now, Hickey, when he's 39, he's going to make $62 million bucks.
You know what? As he should.
What was it? Back pay?
I would say so. Yeah, I don't mind that. Hold if on. I was a Warriors fan.
Let's see. How Chris Paul, what is he playing for the Spurs this year? Let's see. Five? Oh, excuse me. Only $10 million bucks. Okay. Not bad.
That's also a little different.
Oh, what? Chris Paul is washed up and hurt all the time?
Yes. And yeah. On like his 10th different team now in like 15 years.
No. Yeah, he's 39. Chris Paul will be 40 by the time May comes around. Man, you think Victor Wembanyama is going to punch him? I'm just saying.
Chris Paul might punch him first.
What, in the ankles? Like nobody.
He can reach the kneecap, I think.
Maybe, probably reach the kneecap. It's like nobody likes Chris Paul. I can see Wembanyama will respect him, but Wembanyama may like, man, this is my show now, man. Just shut up and throw the alley-oop, okay?
You know what would be the worst case scenario with that?
What?
Imagine Chris Paul rubs off on Wembanyama.
And he becomes a jerk?
Right.
No.
He's likable. Everyone wants to see him succeed, and all of a sudden he does that petty stuff that Chris Paul does. He's like pointing at guys with their shirt untucked in order to get a technical, and he's like the most hated guy in the league in 3 years. That could be bad. Man.
No, I think Wembanyama's too good of a soul, Hickey. He cannot be corrupted by our American from North Carolina. He cannot. It's impossible. No.
I hope you're right.
Not Wembanyama will develop. You see, there's only a few places Wembanyama can go. He just seems so down to earth. He can be, let's say, Tim Duncan, right? I would like that if he just continued that. I mean, and on the other spectrum, he could be Kevin Garnett. I don't think that will happen. I don't. So you're saying if he's hanging out with Chris Paul, he's going to be more like a nasty attitude? Like, no.
I hope not. Chris Paul's been, you know, called a mentor, right, by a lot of people. He's there to mentor Wemby. He's not there to help the Spurs win games, that's for sure.
No. His job is to throw the alley-oop efficiently. That's it. If I'm Wembanyama, I just point up, just throw it here. Anywhere above the basket, I'll get it. Must be a unique talent. What a 7 foot. I'm going to just keep calling him 7'5 until they say otherwise. Because I knew that man. I know that man has grown an inch. I haven't measured him. I haven't seen him. I just know he's grown an inch just because. It's just.
He's a growing boy still.
He is. He's not old enough to drink yet, is he? Did we have this conversation?
Yeah, that's right. If he wins a title this
20?
Year.
20? He's only 20.
Imagine that. And this has never happened. Like, imagine the Spurs won a title and, like, no champagne for Wemby.
Oh, wow. Yeah, right? None for him. They also
apple juice.
This is crazy. And I just thought about it. Chris Paul is twice his age.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Chris Paul is twice his age. Victor Wembanyama, they just miss it. Victor Wembanyama will turn 21 on January 4th. And Chris Paul will turn 40 on May 6th. So they miss it by a little bit. But as of right now, Chris Paul is 39 and Wembanyama is 20. Damn. Now, that's a wide range of basketball. My knees hurt even thinking about that. That's old. Hickey, my knees hurt thinking about running. It just, I look at these guys and I go, man, these dudes are the same age as I am, and I don't want to run anywhere. And all they do is run up and down. Why can't my knees have why I got to have arthritic knees? Why me?
That's a great question. If only you could have avoided that, you would be like Chris Paul right now, probably still running, but for millions of dollars. I think that's, there's your answer right there.
I got to blame my parents, don't I?
I guess genetics.
I got to blame these genetics.
It's not you.
Why am I not 6 feet tall and whatever the hell Chris Paul else does? Have great eyesight, the ability to dribble a ball. Anyway.
It's not your fault, your parents' fault.
You're damn right it is. I'm going to sue him. That's what I'm going to do.
And if your son is like a star athlete, it was all you, right?
Oh, hell
yeah. You passed the genes down to him.
Listen, he could kick a mean ball, Hickey. We might have a, U.S. men's national team. Okay. All right.
Okay.
I know some people. I may have to make some calls. Do something with the kid. Take him.
The second coming of Christian Pulisic?
Yeah, the black version. Yes. Yes. Even better. No, even better. Lock my boy in a room and soccer all day, every day. You'll go and play for, I don't know. Manchester United sucks now. I don't know. He can bring them back from the toilet. They've been looking for that for a long time. Yeah. If he works, Hickey, the genetics work on my end. The boat missed me. Let's just put it that way. And good luck to Chris Paul and Wembanyama. What an interesting combination. I could see Wembanyama getting yelled at by Chris Paul and Chris Paul, or Wembanyama just looking straight ahead, ignoring him. Because if he looks straight ahead, he doesn't see anything. So, anyway, speaking of old guys, Tom Brady is 47 years old. Only a few years older than Chris Paul, right? Only a few. Why is Tom Brady still teasing people about coming back to the NFL? He's doing this promo for No Bull, and he's just like, I can still throw a football. He's walking around at preseason games, throwing a football, going, hey, I still got it. He's teasing everybody. He's 47. He's been out the league now a year. Good. He's going to be gone another year. You think somebody's just going to call Tom Brady and just say, hey, man, we need you right now? That's not happening. Tom Brady has this new contract with Fox. Can't wait to listen to him. Not really. It's just out of curiosity. But the fact is, like I say this all the time, I don't particularly need to hear the announcers. I don't want to. I just want to watch the football. And if I need an answer for something, a play, then I'll turn it up and go from there. But Tom Brady signed a 10-year, $375 million contract to be Fox's number one analyst, replacing Greg Olson. And in the process, a lot of people may or may not remember this, he has tried and is being vetted to purchase a 10% stake in the Raiders. Now, not only are a lot of people, owners, concerned that he's getting the 10% on a discount, which would kind of screw up the cap table, just giving people free shares for things they didn't pay for, but how the hell are you going to be an objective analyst when you have a stake in a team? And what a lot of people don't understand or realize is the guys who do the broadcast, like, they go to the other team's facilities. They sit down in meetings. They are grabbing intel. They're grabbing information so they can actually be do a good job and have different insight as an analyst. It doesn't just start and stop on the game on Sunday. But how the hell is Tom Brady going to get intel on other teams when he has a piece of the Raiders? And granted, this is not official yet. He doesn't officially have a part of the Raiders. But if he does, you can consider part of that to be a conflict of interest. And so the NFL owners actually had a meeting this week. And as a part of their meeting, their agenda, besides laughing and sitting around like supervillains, old supervillains, they discussed Tom Brady. And how the hell are we going to allow this guy to be on television and be objective, to be square and straight down the middle, to not steal state secrets from other teams? Well, they had some rules in place. This is what might happen. Mike Florio talked about this on Pro Football Talk.
If and when Brady's attempt to purchase a piece of the Raiders is finalized, he will not be permitted to be in another team's facility, not permitted to watch practice, not permitted to attend production meetings, either in person or virtually. And taking it a step farther, as an owner of a team, he would be prohibited from publicly criticizing game officials and other clubs, which could subject him to a fine if he goes too far. When there's a horrible call that's made during a game, he can't say it's horrible, lest he be held to the same standard that an owner, a coach, a GM would be held to.
Man. Well, Hickey, he's going to quit something sooner than later, man. He's not long for this job. He's not long. 10 years? We talked about this. I don't think he's sticking around as an analyst for 10 years. Just put your money in the team and just sit down. But he needs something to do, I guess. Or just collect your $375 and leave the Raiders alone. I don't know, man. I don't think he's going to do this job for a long time.
I would agree. I kind of assume that this broadcasting gig would, like, help fund, maybe, like, he wants to buy a full ownership of a team one day.
Right.
But I mean, I don't know how you do the job. And honestly, like, from Fox's perspective, I get it's Tom Brady. But, like, at what point is it worth having Tom Brady there and paying him $37.5 million a year if the guy basically knows as much as you and I do? Like, in terms of going into the game, if you can't talk to coaches, go to the facility, talk to practice, like, have a lot of those facts and inside information that not only makes you sound smart, but makes the viewer smarter and kind of know what's going on. How much value is there for that? He's
going to sound like the smartest quarterback on television. That's it. Like, this is a vanity play. It's like, hey, we got Tom Brady, and Tom Brady's going to break stuff down on television. But then how much fun is that? Hey, this is the reason why they did that, or they should do that. I mean, but there comes a point where he can't criticize the refs. I disagree with that call. Okay, give us more, Tom Brady. I can't. I'll get in trouble because I own a piece of the Raiders. It's half-assed in it. Like, something's going to come to a head sooner than later. And Tom Brady could certainly get his hands on information first, second hand, having been in the league. He can go around things. But how long before that gets tricky? Oh, somebody told Tom Brady that, or Tom Brady wasn't supposed to know that. Well, how did Tom Brady learn that out? Well, he's not supposed to talk to this person. Well, now Tom Brady is getting fined, or the Raiders are getting fined. The Raiders are always into some stuff. Quote-unquote stuff is always happening with the Raiders. Why Tom Brady is getting involved in this, I have no idea. I would think that he would take his $375 million, half of it, because the IRS is going to take half, come back in 10 years, and I'm sure he's sitting on a lot of money. I don't know what his situation looks like. And just dump it into a franchise in 10 years when he's, I don't know, almost 60. What, is Tom Brady going broke? Is there urgency here? I don't know. None of my business. I do know he has a situation with his wife, so I don't know what his money looks like. None of my business. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Speaking of television, this weekend is one of my favorite sports weekends. We got college football. It's Labor Day weekend. Then we have U.S. Open tennis. Yes, we have our major here in the United States of America. We're going to have a chat with Lucas Weiss from The Athletic. I'm going to ask him about Sinner. We'll talk Naomi Osaka, Coco Gauff, and more. Who do we need to look out for? Lucas on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I told you this is one of my favorite sports weekends in the entire year. Got college football back. Got the U.S. Open going on in Queens. I love tennis. I'm going to have myself a busy weekend. It's time to check in with someone who is going to be covering the U.S. Open on behalf of The Athletic, amongst the many other things that he does. Joining us right now to talk some little yellow ball is Lucas Weiss. Lucas, how are you?
JR, I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
Appreciate you for taking the time to come on. Now, the U.S. Open is already underway. We have people that have advanced. What are some of the bigger storylines that we need to pay attention to as we keep things rolling?
Well, the tournament is off and running. I think, to me, the match thus far that I think you should be paying attention to is going to happen tomorrow. Third round, men's singles, battle of two Americans, Ben Shelton and Francis Tiafoe. This is a rematch of last year. They met in the quarterfinals where Ben Shelton beat Francis Tiafoe. And both of these guys just bring so much energy and enthusiasm both on and off the court. And I just think it's going to be an electric match. I think Francis feels like he left some on the court last year. He played a little bit flat, not up to his potential. I think for Ben Shelton, he wants to find a way to win again so that he can continue to grow and progress like he did a year ago when he made his first Slam semifinal here. So I think it has the ingredients to be a fantastic match at Arthur Ashe Stadium, and it's going to be one of the more popular ones of the first week.
Well, Lucas, as you mentioned, we saw a lot from Tiafoe last year, and things have been relatively quiet this year, especially as the tournament season is coming down to a close and an end here. Why has that been the case? Is it injury? Is it fatigue? Why do you think he hasn't continued to stay at the pace where everybody looked at him and found out more about him last year?
Well, I think it's, I think those are factors for sure. I think Francis is someone where, you know, earlier on in his career, he struggled to find that consistent motivation. And I think now he's, you know, getting, you know, trying to become more consistent, right, in his results. And he admitted to the media that, you know, that loss to Shelton last year in the quarterfinals, especially when 2 years ago he makes the U.S. Open semifinal after beating Rafa Nadal in the fourth round. He nearly beats Carlos Alcaraz in five sets. And Tiafoe felt like after losing to Shelton last year where he played really flat, that really sort of deflated his entire year. And he hasn't been able to really recover from that. But Francis skipped the Olympics. And I think even though he's someone, JR, that wanted to be there supporting his country, he found that he could find a way to be more successful on the hard courts. And that's what he did, right? He was successful in Washington. He made the final in Cincinnati. So he had great prep coming into the U.S. Open. And now he's playing with a lot of confidence. So I actually like Tiafoe to win the match against Shelton. Even though Shelton's going to be tough, I think that Tiafoe is the guy that is going to get it done.
Lucas Weiss is here with us, staff editor from The Athletic, also covering the U.S. Open. when you talk about the top dogs on the men's side, Djokovic is trying to add another major. The man is coming off of a gold medal. Now, Carlos Alcaraz, you have Jannik Sinner, who hopefully he's staying away from the massages. Who do you think is in at the top position to walk away with this U.S. Open title?
I think it's Carlos Alcaraz. I think that when it's all said and done, I think that, look, Jannik Sinner, you know, he had a great win today in straight sets, but hasn't really been able to play anyone yet of his caliber. So I think when he gets to that point, it's going to be fascinating to see, okay, you know, what is the distractions off the court, how that's going to impact him, particularly in, you know, the preparation and the execution, right? I mean, he said that it's had an impact on him, all the off-court distractions of the news coming out that he tested positive for a banned substance and the anti-doping sanction. So it'll be interesting to see. Now, Djokovic, he just won the ultimate crowning achievement in his career, the Olympic gold medal. He called it the greatest highlight of his career. And I think in his first two matches, he won, but wasn't the sharpest, particularly on the serve. I feel like there's still a lot more left in his game, but Djokovic, there's no one better at finding a way into a slam than Novak Djokovic is. But I really do think Alcaraz, I think this is someone who's motivated after losing in the gold medal match to Djokovic. I think he had a lot of perspective from that disappointing result. And look, he's trying to win three slams this year, and that hasn't been done, winning the French, Wimbledon, and U.S. Open since Rafa Nadal. So I just think with Alcaraz's game and just ability to play in the big moments, he's going to be very difficult to beat this fortnight.
And Lucas Weiss is here with us from The Athletic. On the women's side, unfortunately, yeah, we saw Sloane Stephens hasn't been at the top in quite some time. Naomi Osaka, Coco Gauff, they're rolling around. We know, yeah, Swiatek. Who do you think is going to come out on top on the women's side? Is it possible we see an American? Can Coco do it again?
You know what? With Coco, it's interesting because she came into this tournament really struggling. You know, she only won one hardcourt match coming into the U.S. Open after such a successful hardcourt season last year, which was concluded by her winning the U.S. Open. I don't know. I think Coco just isn't as sharp right now. She's trying to find her game. I think it's been a long season for her, so it'll be interesting to see, though, what she does. She had a tough third round against Elena Svitolina. I think the favorite, though, on the women's side is Aryna Sabalenka. I think she's playing the best right now of anyone on the WTA Tour, particularly on the hard courts. I think she has that raw power on the baseline that's just so difficult to beat. So she won in Cincinnati, and I would not be surprised if she lifts the trophy in New York in 2 weeks.
Well, Lucas, you talk about the length of the season and as it relates to Coco Gauff. We've heard a lot of the athletes on both the men and women's side talk about how active they have to be throughout the course of the year to qualify and get enough points to participate.
Yep.
Do you think that a lot of these athletes are worn out by the time we get to the U.S. Open? Are they playing too much tennis?
Well, that's what Iga Swiatek thinks. She's been very outspoken about that the schedule is too long, that there's a lot of mandatory tournaments that the players have to play that aren't even, you know, signature WTA 1000 or slams. I mean, there's the WTA 500s that they have to play. So, look, this is a special year because it was the Olympics, right? And I think the fact is, now, not everyone went to the Olympics, but it made it feel just a lot more condensed because players that went to the Olympics had to then transition from clay to hard courts, which that's a difficult task to do. And look, even in a normal non-Olympic year, the U.S. Open is always where, you know, players are feeling it. They might be more fatigued. They might be dealing with injuries, things like that. So, look, it's a grind. I mean, tennis does not stop. Like, it gets about a couple weeks off, maybe in December, and then you're back to training for the Australian swing. So it's definitely a year-round sport, And look, with some of these bigger events, JR, they're going to be 10 days long next year. And then you have the Slam. So these events are getting longer. So, look, you're just going to have to find a way to manage your body, have a very good team around you to keep yourself fit physically and mentally so that you can find a way to endure the marathon that is the tennis calendar.
Well, Lucas, I know all across the country people are going to be grilling and trying to enjoy what is left of the unofficial summertime, I guess I could say. I heard the weather is kind of sweltering out there. Is it not in New York City right now?
Well, it was yesterday. Yesterday, it was low 90s, very humid conditions, and it was very difficult for the players. I mean, you had some players puking on the court. You had Novak Djokovic after every game. He had to bring out the fan to try to just keep cool. But today, it feels like it's a fall evening. Like, it's actually quite cool. People are walking around with jackets, sweaters on. There's a gentle breeze. It definitely feels like autumn is around the corner. So, yeah, it's supposed to be cooler throughout the rest of the tournament, JR, which is a good thing, I think, for the players and the fans alike.
Pretty good. Well, Lucas, you enjoy all of it out there. Where can people follow you and your coverage of the U.S. Open? Where can we follow your work with The Athletic? Just flat and period.
Well, you can follow me at The Athletic. You can follow me on Twitter, X, at WeSports, at W-E-E-S-E Sports. That's the same for Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads. I'm on all of it, JR, so that's where you can find me.
Well, thank you so much for the time and the insight, and I will be watching, and you enjoy it live and in person, okay?
Thanks, JR. Have a great night.
You as well. Lucas Weiss joining us from The Athletic, staff editor, also covering the U.S. Open. One of my favorite events to go ahead and check out. I ain't got no problem going anywhere where they have good food and they got some good drink. I like it. Hey, Marco, you like the U.S. Open? You ever been out there for that?
I have never been, no.
Oh.
I think I would go depending. I'm not the biggest tennis guy. So okay. You got to entice me with some other ancillary things than just to sit there and go, hey, let's watch tennis for 4 hours.
I told you, the food and the drink.
Yeah.
No?
I don't know, man. I can get that a lot of places.
Oh. Not while you're watching tennis.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The tennis isn't doing it for me. You got to give me something else. I need something else.
This is it's rowdy tennis. Not rowdy. I'm not going to say this is it's not like going sitting down and watching Wimbledon. You know what irks me? You're sitting there at the sporting event, and then the guy, the judge, the lady guy, whoever the hell it is, go, shush. Like, what?
But that's my point. Like, I can't, like, you can't even have a conversation every 2 seconds. Quiet, please. Like, I can't, I don't know. I can't do it.
No, in tennis, you can. In tennis, you say, what do you do? These people, and they're sitting in the suites. They're sitting around. You know, nobody's doing backflips. They're not doing the wave. Not when the play is going. The only thing is, they don't let you go to your seats when the play is on. That's it. So when the ball is dead, you can go sit down. But outside of that, that's the only thing. Outside of that, it ain't no different than go to a baseball game, if you ask me.
Well, see, it's different for me because I can't, if the baseball game I'm more into. But even if I wasn't, I can have a conversation with the people I'm with. During tennis, you can't.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't. Everything gets.
At the U.S. Open, you can. I've been. I do what I want. Come on.
I don't know. I feel like they're always yelling at you to be quiet.
No, that's what I said. Not in America. See, this is the reverse. Think about this. If you go see a soccer match, you know, in the United Kingdom or Germany or what have you, it's rowdy as hell.
Yeah.
Like the atmosphere, like if you go to a basketball or football game in America, it's like going to church in comparison to a football game in Europe.
Yes.
Okay. But for whatever reason, the tennis that takes place in Europe, it's like church. But then when you come to tennis here in America, it's just like, hey, get loose. There's a difference there.
I guess. But that's like loose compared. I still feel like it's quelled.
Hickey, do you want to go to U.S. Open with me next year?
I would love to. I really want to go.
Well, see, yeah. Now, you know, you didn't mention with you. You just said wanted to go. I said you got to entice me with ancillary things.
Oh, yeah, not. I want to go.
I need a lot of good people.
You assumed that he was just offering for you to go by yourself?
Well, not by myself, but like, you know, go find a few people and go to the U.S. Open. Like, that doesn't really do it for me. I got to have like a good group. Food and drink we can get anywhere in New York City. We're spoiled in that regard. But
it's not the honeydews. Can't get that anywhere.
The what?
What now?
The drink that everyone has, the honeydews.
At the U.S.
Yeah,
Open, they have
this.
It's what is that? Jack? Who's the official drink? Something? Who is it? Jack?
I don't think so. No, I think it's like a vodka.
I'm unaware of this.
They have so many official sponsors that even the sponsors, they have their special drinks and stuff like during the U.S. Open.
Now, side note, was that the meme that we've been seeing, that the guy bringing the drink to the woman that was that the drink?
That was a drink. It's like a vodka, strawberry-ish, cranberry with the watermelon.
Now, help me out here. The video that you're referring to,
mm-hmm.
there is a woman who's sitting in the stands,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and there are two men that kind of walk into the aisle. One man directly next to her and one man in the aisle behind her. And they both approach the area to sit in their respective seats at the same time. And they both have two drinks in their hand. The man behind the lady hands this woman a drink. And the man that appears to be with her is looking around like, did this man just give my wife? Was that guy's wife? Did another man buy that guy's wife a drink?
I don't know if it was his wife or he was trying to make a move, but the eagerness that he was walking through the aisle, and I'll be fair, the first time you watched the video, I didn't notice the guy in the aisle behind. So all I'm seeing is the eager walk through the aisle, goes through people. People are sitting there right through them, goes to hand the drink, and a drink almost appears from the row behind, and she immediately goes for that one with a big giant smile and the look on his face of, what the hell just happened here? So it's I don't know if that's his wife or if he was trying to make a move. I got to be fair. I think
he was trying to make a move.
Both are bad.
Yes.
Both are really bad. But the wife, I think you could handle, because that's just like, yo, what are we doing? But it's a friend. It's somebody you know.
Okay. All right.
If that's a move, that's worse.
Is it disrespectful to just buy someone a drink and hit? Well, you're not supposed to take a drink from that you don't know. They teach you that when you start drinking. Like, don't ever accept the drink from someone you don't know. Isn't that the rule?
I would think so, which is why, like I said, if that's his wife, then it's just kind of like awkward of, yo, I just went to go get her a drink. Why are you giving her the drink? Then it's just weird, but it's recoverable. If you're making a move and he does too, and he just beat you to it, and she's more responsive to him, that's almost where you just got to get up and leave.
I brought the tape back up.
Okay.
The gentleman has a wedding ring on.
Which gentleman?
You're right. The guy that was disappointed, the one that, I guess, if you want to call, rejected.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
He has a wedding ring on, and the female, the woman, she has a wedding ring on as well.
Oh, wow.
Is it just happenstance that two married people are just like, you buy tickets that just happen to be next to each other?
How about everybody's cheating? How about
I was gonna say.
Could you imagine?
Who's to say they're married to each other?
That's how you get caught trying to buy it.
Well,
have
you ever seen forget a meme. Have you seen a video? This must be a few years old now. There's like a guy who's hugged up on a lady at a soccer match, right? And then they pan to this guy on like the video board, and he realizes he's on TV. And then the next thing you know, he's kind of like moving this lady off of him. And it's just like, oh, we know. Your wife is going to see this. She absolutely is. You're cooked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what work? See, the joke used to be you called out of work and you got caught on television. And the boss sees you. Everybody knows you skip work to go to opening day or what have you. We have moved to another place in the world where, like, marriages are getting ruined because of kiss cam and virality. And it used to be it was only on TV. You can't share TV, right? You couldn't share TV. But now you can. Marriage is getting ruined because of this.
I'm sorry. I'm picturing the thought process through this whole thing where now you got to wait like what? Still a couple hours, say it's the first quarter, early in the game,
to
whatever it is, before
oh
you got to go home, and you got those like 2 hours where you're just sitting there going, oh man, this is over. I don't even know. What am I going to say? Did I meet her earlier tonight? Are we going to go through? No, we just work together. That's all I'm thinking of. Just the hours of trying to figure out and wiggle your way out of it when you know you're cooked.
I haven't been in that position, but I have a feeling that does not. That makes me uncomfortable, Marco. That makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, but I like the uncomfortable, which is why I like that guy with the meme for the tennis, and I want to know more about that story. If like I said, I'm going to be disappointed. If they're married, eh. It doesn't do anything for me. Because then it's just...
Somebody buys your wife a drink?
Because, again, if she doesn't know who it is, she's not taking it with a smile. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Hickey, how would you like it if you were outside and somebody bought your lady a drink?
See, yeah, I don't think that goes over well. I feel like if it's a friend, like, what do you... Not like, what are you doing? But like, what are you doing?
If it's a friend, it's just he's giving her a drink. Like, it's not that big a deal.
I would tell my lady, have him get me one, too. That's it. Have him buy me one. Give me one, too.
Look, man, you're married 15 years or whatever it is. They don't look like they're, 20 years old. They've been together long enough. Somebody else in your party that you're all together with gave her a drink. You don't care.
He's trying to get rid of her. I get it.
I mean,
I get it. I get it. He doesn't care. I get it. Anyway, I care about this. Colorado is playing football. And to the shock of no one, there's no defense being played. None at all. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network, 855-212-4227. We're going to take a break. We'll get into what's going on with Colorado. The Dallas Cowboys, of course, there was some news. Dak Prescott had some interesting things to say or not say about Jerry Jones.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, thank you so much, Lucas Weiss, for joining us from The Athletic to talk some tennis. While we talk tennis, as I'm here in the studio, Colorado Buffaloes, they're beating North Dakota State. What the hell is this? Hey, Hickey, they made the score disappear. What was it, 14-13? They put a stupid commercial on.
Did North Dakota State get a field goal? If so, it's 14-13. If not, it's 14-10. I did not see how that drive ended.
14-10.
14-10.
14-10, Colorado leads North Dakota State. And Travis Hunter wasted a note. Was that the first drive of the game? First play? What did he do?
First drive. Took it to the house from about like 45 yards out on a nice little curl route. Broke a tackle and was off to the races.
Man, if that guy does that a bunch of times, I understand. I get it. It's North Dakota State. This score was probably going to be astronomical by the time the game is done. Travis Hunter, 41 yards with that touchdown. Jimmy Horn Jr. with the other touchdown. He has two receptions, 78 yards. Shootout. It'll be funny if Colorado loses. Hick, it'd be funny if they lose.
I would agree. That'd be a big talking point tomorrow.
Yeah, I had a buddy of mine tell me today, just in passing. He's just like, hey, I hope that there's an upset today. I said, well, okay. Everybody rooting for them to take the out. Why not? I know Armin Katan joined us earlier in the show. We didn't just talk about it, but I know he's not too fond of Deion Sanders and what's going on. And this is what happens. Like, and it's not that people are rooting for Deion to fail just because, we need to see him. It's like some of it he brings to himself. Like, there are naturally going to be people who don't like you. That's part of life. Maybe they have a reason. Maybe they don't. Maybe it's something that has to do with them. But then when you give people a reason not to like you, you don't put yourself in anybody's good graces. Speaking of a reason not to like anybody, I did mention to you about the Dallas Cowboys. Oh, my goodness. The story goes on and on and on. Yesterday we heard from CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb is just like, yeah, give Dak a contract. And, of course, Jerry Jones from yesterday, he was asked what Dak needs to do to get a new contract. And why Jerry is answering this question, I don't know. It's because he's old. Listen to this.
You could easily say, if you hadn't seen it by now, you haven't seen it. And so I'm such a fan of Dak's and appreciate all of the great things that we all know that he's there. And I appreciate his work ethic probably more than anything out here. And I can't tell you how proud I am that we've got him this year to start this campaign. Needing to see, I just gave an explanation of where, when you look at a situation, you've also got to weigh, okay, what are the consequences of the other side of the coin? And so Dak's situation right now, for me, from my mirror, has more to do with our situation than it does with the merits of Dak Prescott being quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. Hickey, why does that man talk? Why does he speak? Has he ever met a question he just said, I'm not going to talk about? Like, what is he doing?
Has he ever met a question where he didn't put his foot in his mouth at the end?
No, not even. How about today? Dak was asked about Jerry and some of his comments. Dak said, I don't know what this means. Listen to this. Listen.
I stopped, honestly, listening to things that he says to the media a long time ago. So, it doesn't really hold weight with me.
Would you like it done before the season?
I think it says a lot if it is or if it isn't. But however, doesn't really matter to me, to be honest with you.
What does it say if it isn't?
Just how people feel.
Oh. I wish I could be Dak and ignore what this man says in the media, but this is my job. I want to be like Dak. I want to get paid like him and ignore Jerry Jones. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll check in what's going on with Colorado. Oh, my God, we've had another score. I'll give you an update on the other side of the break. Speaking of scoring, Caitlin Clark continues to score. We're going to keep scoring here, too. The JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network. Don't move.